Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. Once again, I am Travis, and wait, who do we got here? What is this? Who's this?
Toodles!
Oh, no, it's Chris. He found the combination back to the house.
The doggy door, man.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I've lost weight. I haven't fit through the doggy door.
Yeah, I've lost no weight.
Just hold it in.
Oh, okay. Girdles.
Yeah.
It's all about girdles.
Spanks.
All right. So, welcome back, Chris.
Long
it's time, comfy. Long time no chat on the rewind.
On the pop culture stuff. Yeah.
How you been?
Eh.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
That's a hell of a year in review, huh?
Yeah. Meh. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we're gonna do real quick here. We're gonna do a rewind for 2014.
Yeah.
Right? We can do that, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Fuck it. It's our podcast. We'll do what we want.
Well, it's yours. I just piggyback.
That's why my back hurts. God damn it.
That's why I'm trying to lose weight.
Ah, thank you, sir. Alrighty, folks. If you haven't already, please remember to check us out on facebook.com/popculturerewind and follow us on the Twitter.
The Twitter.
Chris. What's the
Oh, my literate friend, it's Pop Culture RWND. Freaking Twitter couldn't give us two more character spaces.
Bastards.
What are you gonna do?
Nobody uses it anyways. And if you want to send us any suggestions, comments, or complaints to Chris, it is popculturerewind@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Or if you want to get straight to our episodes, it is popculturerewind.podbean.com.
Yes.
Yep, and you can find us on iTunes, just do a search, and also on the Stitcher Radio app. So, ta-da.
Yep.
Yep. All right. So, we are going to have some new episodes coming out. But before we get to that, we were kind of talking about it, and we came to the conclusion that why don't we do kind of like a, I don't know, what do you want to call it, maybe a season finale?
Yeah.
Of 2014.
No, we can give ourselves a break.
Yeah. Well, you a break. Me a break. You've had a break. When was the last time you've done one of these goddamn things?
Tuesday?
No, for this show.
Oh, it's been a while, yes.
Not
yes.
For the other show. Or the other show that I'm on. This one. It's been a while since we sat down and talked pop culture crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So this is going to be like a finale. And then we will be releasing a season premiere.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what you want to call it?
Sure.
It's not going to really change anything, but we're calling it a finale and a premiere.
Yeah.
Because we're cool like that.
We try.
Yeah, we fail miserably, but we try. That's the point, right?
Yeah. Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, there you go. That's the American way.
Yep.
All right, so 2014, whew, as our friend Abel would say, oofta. Come and gone. What'd you think? Good year? Bad year? Eh.
Damn, this year went by fast.
A lot of stuff happened.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of good, not so good stuff. But what about movies?
Oh, so you want to start with the not-so-good then, obviously, since you brought up the movies.
Well, that depends on what kind of movie we're talking about, my friend.
Because I know how much of a big fan you are of Michael Bay.
Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
So if you had to choose either one of the movies, and you have to choose one, ugh. Ninja Turtles or Transformers?
That's an easy one for me, actually. Transformers.
Really?
If I have to pick one... If you put a gun in my head and say, I'm going to blow your brains out if you don't pick one of these movies, I'm going to pick Transformers.
That was more tolerable than Turtles.
Yes, it was. How longer? Fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it needed to be like having an intermission. I swear, that movie, Transformers 4, Age of Extinction, that movie was so long. Like, when I was watching it, they were getting to like the big like climax scene or whatever. I thought that was like the end of the movie. No, that was like the end of the first act.
That was the swerve.
Yeah. I was like, man, this is like to be continued or something? What is this? Yeah. So they did the big one of the big battle scenes, and I was like, okay, cool, that's it. And then, nope, it just goes, keeps on going. It's a never-ending movie. Jesus.
Yeah.
And what'd you think before we get into the other thoughts here? What'd you think of Transformers Age of Extinction?
Out of the four, it was the easiest to understand, plotline-wise. It was simple. Businessman... wants to get rid of all of them. Make his own.
Government fears the aliens.
No good, no bad. They just want them all gone.
Exactly, yeah.
Who doesn't like Dinobots?
Nobody's raising their hand right now.
Well, who hates Shia LaBeouf?
Oh, everybody raised their hand on that one.
So no Shia LaBeouf was a plus.
That is a plus.
The female chick was easily the least annoying out of the other of the three so far.
This is true, yes.
Megan Fox and then the Victoria's Secret thong-wearing chick. This one was easily the least annoying.
Right.
Other than that, it was pretty much your Michael Bay boom, boom, pow.
And getting besides that, yeah, it could have been edited down a lot. The character designs, well, they said they re-tweaked them a little bit, but they did resemble more kind of fleshed out characters instead of just robots, like just metal.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and there was a lot of character development in them.
Yeah.
In the robots themselves.
And it wasn't overly goofy. Like, what were the two fuckers in the second movie?
Oh, the twins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of that. At least if it was, I've already forgotten about it. So, and it had lockdown.
Oh, my God. That probably was one of the most storyline in the movie. It was probably one of the best villains that they've had.
I would think so, yeah.
I'm a big fan of Lamborghini, too.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, Aventador. Oh, Matt Black. Mm.
Come down there, Chris.
And besides, you got a movie with John Goodman and Ken Watanabe. You got to give it at least a shot.
Yeah. That's the one thing I was telling people. It's got John Goodman as a voice. Come on now. But, yeah, it was... As far as the Transformer movie franchise goes, I'd probably rank that up there probably as the second or the first one.
Yeah.
As far as likable.
Yeah. The first one, obviously the nostalgia of first time on the screen.
Right. And that was another thing. They finally got the fine-tuning of the fight scenes to where it was actually watchable.
Yeah.
You can actually see what's going on in the fight scenes instead of just big sparks flying everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, good. It's on record. Good movie. I give a bit of a doubt. Now,
the toitles. Talk about the toitles.
Oh, God. as good as Transformers 4 was, that's saying a lot right there just by itself.
Compared to Turtles.
Yeah.
Compared to Turtles.
Ninja Turtles. It was a disaster from the get-go. Even before. Like, how many years was it in production and all the rumors and the leaked storylines.
There were going to be aliens.
And aliens and everything, which I'm starting to be convinced that that was all part of marketing. It was all viral marketing strategy.
Yeah.
Get people talking about it. Getting people to know that there's a movie. Because everybody thinks that this was a Michael Bay movie, which it really wasn't.
It wasn't.
He had produced it.
You couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah, and exactly. Even by the trailers and just the movie by itself, it looked like a Michael Bay movie. Which could have been, you know, bait and switch right there. It could have been him actually directing, but didn't want to take the heat for it.
Yeah.
And then did a little pseudonym or something for the director. But what did you think of the movie? I've been talking a lot. You talk.
It literally reminded me almost of the first movie.
Say it again.
The story reminded me almost exactly like the first movie. They meet April.
The original
Turtles movie from the 80s. They meet April.
You compare this to the first movie?
Storyline. Like, there wasn't anything.
I was about to say.
There wasn't anything that surprised me.
I was about to say that's a bold statement.
Like, if they're going to literally almost 100% tit for tat do exactly what the first movie was, I'd pick the first movie with its costumes and humor and everything. That one holds up. This one I don't think will hold up. They find April. They save April. They take her to the sewer. The Foot Clan already raid the sewer. They're kidnapping Shredder. Somebody has to go save somebody. They kidnap Splinter. Somebody has to go save Splinter. And then they all come together and finally have their big battle against Shredder. It was literally the first movie.
And not only that, you said it's storyline wise. You already knew what was going on. But what do they do now? Like, everything's connected. Like, April's dad was in the laboratory and she knew the turtles when they were. The turtles before they got mutated. It's like, it's all, I don't know, all connected like that. And it's just one of those things where, why make it where it's not so, not spontaneous, but doesn't flow as well. It's so convenient now that they're all connected.
Especially if they're going to do more than one, something like that could have been saved till later.
Yeah. Like, why does it
wouldn't have been such a hard pill to swallow if you spread that out as opposed to everything all at once, assuming this is the only movie they're going to get.
Right.
You know?
And then we had the Shredder suit.
I'm sorry. I loved it.
Did you?
I liked it. It was a completely... That was probably the only original thing about the movie. The updated Shredder look. It's like, oh, hey, he's got scissors coming out of his butt. Okay, I'm scared. With magnets, and they go back to the cheek. It's like, wow.
Okay, so scissors out of the butt. That's bad. All right. So, okay, let's talk about the nitty-gritty here. The design of the turtles.
They were weird to take in at first.
Yeah. Not at first, my friend. They're still are.
I've watched it a few times because my nephew is a huge turtle mark. So
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
But you've watched it a few times. It's
kind of set in. It's like it's. I guess it works.
I don't know. It just the designs for me doesn't match the characters. It's like
Donnie's got glasses because he's a nerd. Raphael's got the bandana and the crack shell because he's the one that's the most physical. Leonardo's the... Michelangelo's the younger-looking geek because he's all, like, fantasizing over April. I think they got some of that part right. But you're talking about the whole physical-looking build, huge.
Exactly. Like, why are they 10 feet tall or whatever the hell it was? You know? It's,
yeah.
I don't know. One defense that I've heard for the movie was... that this isn't aimed for us.
Oh yeah, it's Nickelodeon Studios.
It's a kids movie, but you know what? You can make that defense for a lot of movies that came out, but they were actually good. There's a lot of comic book movies that came out. There's a lot of hell, even Transformers. You know, there's different franchises out there that's geared for kids, but still good for adults. You can have the flavor for the children, but throw in the humor and everything else. Put some substance for the adults too.
Yeah,
they got to sit through it too.
Yeah,
you know, make it to where it's gonna hold up over time.
Yeah.
Like the first movie. The first movie holds up great. The second movie, not so much.
Yeah, the second movie went a little bit commercial.
It's hard to watch. I can't even watch it, actually, honestly.
I think up towards the end. Once they get in the club and they're doing the Vanilla Ice skit, I think that's when I check out.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with the first scene. Actually, in the second movie.
Oh, when they're in the mall and Kanu's trying to take all the guys out by himself, and they come from behind. Wow.
Oh,
freeze frame. Yeah.
And I didn't even know that in the second movie they couldn't use weapons because it was too violent for parents were bitching about. If you go back and watch the second movie, they don't use weapons. That's why, like, Michelangelo's using like the sausage links as nunchucks. And other things.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Wow.
You have a ninja movie. No weapons.
No weapons. Interesting.
It's like G.I. Joe the animated movie. Falcons.
Without red and blue lasers.
Yeah. It's like they're telling Slaughter he's going to go out and do everything. He's like, okay, you want to make it interesting? No weapons. Okay, fine. Anyway, that's... If you go back and listen to my G.I. Joe episode, Chris, you'll know what I'm talking about on that. All right.
Throw out a good movie. What was a movie that you liked of 2000?
Okay, hands down. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Shit balls.
Beat that one.
You can't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Whew. What can you say about that one, man? That's... That... What I've been telling everybody who hasn't seen that movie, I'm telling everybody that is the start of its own space epic. Its own sci-fi franchise. You created one right there. You got your own characters. You got your own Star Wars, pretty much.
That's what I've been telling my friends.
Yeah,
like, this is the Star Wars of our generation.
Exactly. Yeah. You got your characters. You got the settings. You got the technology, the spaceships, everything. Everything's there. And clearly, man, they knocked it out of the park.
Which was questionable. Guardians is like, what, C-level?
Mm-hmm, at best.
Name? C-level at best? And they were like, well, just throw it to the wall, see if it sticks. But damn, after the Lego movie, Chris Pratt's like, oh, Chris Pratt's in this? All right, good.
That's another movie that came out. With the
Bradley Cooper. Oh, Bradley Cooper's in this? Voicing that guy? All right. Vin Diesel's actually in this? Oh, no. Vin Diesel's in this? Wait, he's only saying four words? Okay.
Three words.
So four.
I am Groot.
We.
Oh,
you forgot about that one, didn't you?
Ah,
you bastard. Zoe Saldana? Mmm. Batista?
Eh. He did good. No, he did good. Everybody was... our wrestling fans were giving us crap. Giving him crap.
Yeah.
You know, saying, oh, it's got Batista in it. Ah, blah, 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 blah. But damn if he doesn't have some of the best lines in the movie.
Part of me wanted to watch it just to see him fail. And when I saw it, I was like, you motherfucker.
I can't hate you anymore.
Yeah. But, of course, not everybody felt the same way. One of our friends is never going to like him.
Yeah. But that's his loss.
Yeah.
I it's no secret. I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I'm looking forward to the second movie and whatever else they end up doing with it.
Yeah.
Man, but Marvel has been on just a roll with these movies. Not all of them with Marvel Studios. One of the bigger movies that came out was X-Men.
Fox.
Yeah, from Fox. X-Men Days of Future Past. And okay, here's an example of me having low expectations for a movie.
You snuck in. You didn't pay, did you?
I did.
Oh.
No, I gave my money this time.
Okay.
But I went in, I gave them my money with low expectations.
Okay.
I said, I'm ready to get my money back when it's over. But I watched the movie because, and the reason I was like that was because it's Fox. And they have a
track record.
They have a bad track record of screwing shit up.
And then you got two different universes, two different times, and you're going to put them all together in this cookies and cream ice cream of a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it had the potential.
I had my doubts too.
Yeah. It had a potential of being either really good or really bad. And I'm going to sway that this was more on the positive side.
Yeah. I agree.
They know. Well, the big thing is they got Bryan Singer back.
Mm-hmm.
And Bryan Singer, for you folks that don't know, I mean, he was the mastermind behind Part 1 and Part 2. He left Part 3 to go to Superman Returns. I can't even say another straight face.
Superman Returns.
Baby daddy
issues.
Yeah, we got X-Men Last Stand, which was terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
Killing off some main characters. And then what do? You try to reboot the series with the First Class.
And to their credit, that was a pretty good movie, too. I liked it. Okay. It was a great way for them to start fresh.
It was a great way to start fresh. My issue, being a big X-Men comic book fan, is, motherfucker, that ain't the First Class. I don't care who you are or who you're talking to, that's not the First Class of X-Men. I'm sorry. But being as how it's a movie, and you can take the comic continuity away, and you have their cinematic continuity, they did the best they could with that. And then so with Days of Future Past, they said, okay, we really got to fix the screw-ups because we screwed things up, killing off some main characters. We got to find a way to bring them back. Oh, hey, there's a big timeline storyline in the comics. Let's use that to our advantage. So they did, and ta-da, we're getting the new movies coming out. Well, they brought back all the characters they killed off, essentially. Mm-hmm. And in the process, which I thought about this later on, Days of Future Past actually, I would think, sets a precedent for movie storytelling, which is by the end of Days of Future Past, they essentially wiped out the last five movies, the three X-Men movies and the two Wolverine movies.
Yeah.
Done. Like, they didn't even matter.
Mm-hmm.
Really, if you think about it. So, if you had any gripes about those movies, guess what? It didn't count.
You can start fresh with the first one, First Class.
Exactly. So I'm actually looking forward to the next movie.
Oh, Apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
Yeah.
If you saw
I wonder what that's about.
I don't know. this the other day, or yesterday, I think, they announced who's playing. They cast...
Jean, Cyclops,
and Storm. And that I'm kind of bitching about, just because...
The chick from Game of Thrones?
Yes. Out of the three actors, I know her, and I don't like her. Or at least, I don't want her as Jean Grey. The other two people, I don't know who the hell they are.
That could be to your advantage.
It could be to my advantage, but looking at their credits on IMDb, I don't want another. I don't want to know these people. So that's me being prejudgmental.
Yeah. So, that's you being you.
Yeah, that's me. And I'm being upfront with that. Yeah. I'm just totally whatever. But hopefully, fingers crossed, they've proven themselves with Days of Future Past. Hopefully, they can continue the track record.
Yeah.
Speaking
of Fox.
Yes.
I'm assuming it's Fox. The internet busted a monumental load.
No.
when they released leaked footage of Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool.
Yes, my friend.
Which
yes.
was probably, Guardians of the Galaxy aside, that was, because I did not see it coming, that was probably the funniest 4 minutes
yes.
I've ever seen yes. in, like, X-Men movieverse.
Yeah.
And between all
that... The bravest footage they've done.
4 minutes.
Yeah.
It's all it took, 4 minutes, and it went from leaked footage to HD resolution upgraded footage to, hey, the petition to get this movie going, which has been, like, in, like, near dinosaur oil pit, like, speed, and it went from that to the footage to the petition to Ryan Reynolds voicing his opinion further, because yeah. he's been voicing it for a while.
Right.
And all of a sudden, next month... Oh, March.
March.
March. They're starting in Vancouver filming Deadpool for Valentine's Day 2016.
Well,
what says love than having Deadpool kill you and rip your heart out and
yep.
make a chimichanga falafel out of it? God!
See, that's nice because it gives something for the guys to look forward to for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
But man, that yeah, that footage.
I've never seen in entertainment stuff. I've never seen a movement of that size happen that fast.
Yeah.
Because the word of mouth has been going on for years. After Ryan Reynolds did was probably the saving grace of X-Men Origins, his humor and his
yeah.
maskless Deadpool. Like from there, I was like, I want more of that. Every year, I want more. I want more. Ryan Reynolds.
You're talking
like,
about the beginning of X-Men Wolverine Origins.
X-Men Origins. Ryan Reynolds.
When he
and
was
stuff.
Him, not at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
When
it was him talking
yeah,
and being
yeah.
himself, basically. Because yeah. I've seen a lot of his movies. It sounds like that's who he is.
Yeah.
I get that vibe. It's like, man, he would be a perfect Deadpool. Come on, man. But nothing. Every year, nothing. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, footage, petition, Twitter.
Because that
done.
Was at Comic-Con, right? San Diego Comic Con, where they released
it. I think
the
it was
footage.
Like a week after that, I think.
I mean, that's when you release all that, because that's the biggest buzz time for comic book movies.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, man, they knocked that out of the park. 4 minutes. That's all it took.
So I don't care who's doing it. I don't care who's directing it. I don't care who's producing it. It's Deadpool. I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt.
I think the material will speak for itself.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I'm hoping that this is going to be a rated R movie.
Rated R would be like the Deadpool Max comics, like the real vulgar stuff, or like the Deadpool Kills the X-Men universe or the Marvel
okay.
universe.
So
it could be PG-13.
Yeah, you're true. Yeah, you're
like,
right.
Like
yeah.
literally, he can make fun of the stuff. Like I didn't say bleep; I meant to say this. Or hey, why aren't you showing me doing the stabby stuff? Oh yeah, that thing in the corner.
That is
I
mean, true.
So,
yeah,
like he can break the fourth wall and stuff
He's
like
got
that.
To. He's got to break yeah. the fourth wall in that movie. Several
Dude, just
times.
In the clip.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's 1 second he's singing Gwen Stefani, and the next one's like, "Oh hey guys, I wear red so people don't see me crap my pants."
Yeah.
I hope the bad guys down there are wearing brown.
Yeah,
you know, it's being hilarious. And they can make it work with PG-13.
Yeah.
Because there's
yeah.
been a track record of really good, even if they're really good, R-rated action comic movies.
Yeah,
comic action movies. They don't do so well.
And true, you know, not only that, but they've been getting away with a lot of stuff on PG-13 movies. So
yeah.
Scratch that. It doesn't need rated R. PG-13. Yeah, definitely. So there's that we're looking forward to. But another big one was Captain America. That was another big hit for Marvel. And the thing about that was that it kind of tied into the TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. And the new one that just came out, Agent Carter.
Yeah. Have you been watching?
I saw the season premiere, which was the two episodes put together, and then I saw the next episode. So I think I've caught up. I think I am.
Yeah, because they took a break, I think.
Yeah.
Like a 2-week break or something. Thank God. I'm already behind on everything. But I actually, the thing about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I'm getting a vibe from the majority of people out there that it's, along with another show we're about to talk about, it's getting kind of hard to watch. Because if you missed something at the beginning, if you didn't watch it or whatever, if you did start to watch it, it took a while to take off and you just kind of lost interest of it. I can understand that. I kept on with it.
Yeah.
They did a couple episodes where it tied into Thor 2,
mm-hmm.
which was, it was pretty cool because you had to watch it.
Sif and the Enchantress?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the big one was with Captain America 2, the Winter Soldier. Because the effects of Captain America totally changed where the series was at.
Yeah.
For the show, and
it gave a direction.
Exactly, and I think that that's another thing along what we were talking about before, where it's a first for like them to wipe out the movie history of the X-Men movies. I think this is another one where Marvel is doing a first in the industry where you're tying in your TV show to your movies,
yeah,
and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just love the
continuity of everything.
Yeah, and some of the tricks they're doing, like making you want to watch. Like, if you want to get more of what you saw in Captain America, and see one that see how that affected everything else, go watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
I purposely, I was. It took me a couple weeks to watch Captain America in the theaters, so I had like two or three episodes
on DVR.
Yeah. I'm not going to watch it. It's like, and I'm glad I did, because if you watch it without watching,
wouldn't have made sense.
Yeah, it would have been, what the hell am I watching? You know.
Yeah.
So. I don't want to say that, because again, they did a good job of like doing it like a tie-in,
yeah,
episode, but you didn't necessarily have to watch the movie. But I wanted the full effect,
yeah,
of seeing it in continuity order.
And that part was risky, because Marvel's been doing a lot of different kind of movies. This one was supposed to be like those old school political thrillers.
Yeah,
I'm not a huge fan of those movies. I don't even think I can say off the top of my head one or two of them that I like.
Yeah.
But I gave it a chance because it was Captain America, and I wanted to see where it went, and it really paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's why I like it so much, because it stands out from the typical cookie cutter action, mm-hmm, movies where A, B, C, D happens. This was completely different.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it told a good story, and it had a purpose. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And it led on to bigger things in the Marvel Universe. That's what I like about it. Whatever happened in Captain America 2 isn't fully resolved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which we're seeing in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So.
Yeah.
And Agent Carter, I like the two-part season opener. I thought the second episode after that kind of fell a little flat for me.
A bit.
But the episode after that kind of kicked back in. But the interesting thing about that is you don't really have to know anything about the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
That's really just fluff for extra backstory.
And yeah, because this is like at the beginning of where everything started. Because before Iron Man and Captain America,
right,
and Thor, there was Iron Man's daddy.
Right.
And Captain America before he was frozen. And after that, that's where like the timeline starts.
This is
so
six weeks after,
yeah,
Captain America dives down in the river,
yeah,
or the ocean, whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like nothing you have to watch. But if you just want another outlet for Marvel stuff.
If anything, newcomers coming in, instead of watching like the first Iron Man or the Incredible Hulk, they should start with Carter.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, it's just a good way. And I'm thinking maybe it's only, what, an eight-part episode or eight-part series?
It's an eight-part series,
yeah,
one season only.
Yeah, so I'm hoping it's going to end with some kind of wrap up for something else,
yeah,
you know, some revelation or something. Well, besides Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, the distinguished competition, that's DC for you folks out there,
Warner Brothers,
they had their own outings on the TV front.
Yeah.
Some good, some not so good. The big one that I think got the most press, most publicity, most people know about is Gotham.
Oh yeah.
Maybe it's because different channel, more people have it or watch it or whatever, but
mm-hmm,
it's on Fox. And man, it was one of those things where it's like 50-50. You either love it or you hate it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to defend it, but at the same time, it's like
the premise itself gets your attention to either love it or hate it.
Exactly.
It's Batman pre-Batman.
And so, already you're like, what?
Yeah. So if you read like Detective Comics, you might fall for this.
Yeah.
If you watched like even the original Batman movies from the 80s and 90s, this is not going to be your cup of tea.
No.
But if you like progression, if you want to see the payoff, it's another one of those things you might want to get into. I mean, I saw the first three or four episodes, and the first one was a little bit weird to see at first, you
mm-hmm
know, because every movie or every comic book that has a new Batman story starts with the parents getting killed off.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing completely after. It's just like a flashback, and it goes straight,
right,
to Batman in the moment, cape and cowl. So watching the aftermath and slowly putting the pieces together, it was different to... It was... I don't want to say jarring, but it wasn't something you were used to.
here's my take on it, and I think that they're on the right track, but if they present it just a little bit differently, and maybe instead of calling it Gotham, maybe call it GCPD or something, because I like it as a cop show.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it like it's a Batman show, like you got Bruce Wayne, you got Catwoman, Penguin, you got all these iconic characters, but you can't do anything with them.
Yeah.
Because you already know their future. You already know their fates. So if you just take the cop side of it, bring in some, you know, other characters that you can make up for the show, whatever, just different cops, different scenarios, gangsters, things like that, then you might have something. But to say it's a Batman show,
yeah,
get that thought out of your head, because it's not about Batman at all.
And once you do, you'll see it in a different light.
Yeah.
Because I think between Ben McKenzie and Gordon, the guy that they got for Bullock,
yeah,
they make a great combination.
Oh, they do. I like their buddy cop routine on them. Yeah, absolutely. My buddy Xavier, you know, from
replacement number one. I saw how good that did. Where am I right now?
So anyway, as his contention on that is, it's not Gordon without the mustache.
Well, he's a baby face. Let him get old and gray. Let him get that mustache eventually.
Yeah.
I think for Halloween, he actually dressed up with like the Gordon jacket and everything, and he had the mustache and he grayed out his hair, I think.
On the show?
No, there was like a Halloween party that he went to.
Oh, I was about to say, I don't remember that.
Pictures were on like Facebook and Twitter of like the costume of the year, and it was him as Gordon, but older.
Okay.
He pulled it off well. So like,
I mean, he seems like a good guy, and I like his acting, but
yeah
to some people, it's not Gordon.
Yeah,
you know, but it is kind of hard to sell out on people, you know. But that's one of the iffy ones on that on the DC side. But some positives came out for DC. You had already successful show Arrow,
mm-hmm.
And during the was it second season of Arrow? We're on the second season, right?
Yeah,
yeah. They brought in a character, Barry Allen. And he got his own show. Guess what it's called?
Flash.
Yeah. And damn it, I'm going to say I'm enjoying The Flash. It's actually what a comic book TV show should be, I think. They're not really...
Too serious?
They're not too serious. And
it's not too campy, though? Or is it because it's campy that you like it?
Here's the thing. They're actually... To me, yeah, you still got your little... teeny bopper drama situations, but they're cutting the fat on everything else, and they're getting you into like the villains and the costume and the superpowers and everything else. And to me, that's refreshing, because I'm still having flashbacks of 10 seasons of Smallville.
Oh, and when it took building up the origin story to get to where he is now.
We had one scene of him in the damn costume, the Superman costume in Smallville after 10 seasons. For Flash, he had the costume, the first episode or second episode? Something like that. Yeah. They didn't fuck around. And the fact that they are tying it into Arrow, which is good. They already had a crossover episode.
Yeah.
And I found out they announced that that's going to be an annual thing.
Nice.
Like every year they're going to do a Flash-Arrow event.
That's good.
So, yeah. Something to keep the continuity together and keep fans watching both shows. So, yeah, I mentioned it before that I wasn't the biggest fan of Arrow when it first came on. I gave up halfway through the first season. And then the second season came on and I started watching. It's like, they've cleaned their stuff up. This is pretty good now. So, and it's still good. I still enjoy both shows. So, what about you?
I'm not the biggest DC guy. And there's so much television already out there.
Yeah.
If anything, since The Flash is fresh, it's just started, it'll be easier for me to catch up on it. So the first thing on my resolution, television-wise, or pop culture-wise, is to try to catch the first few episodes of Flash to see if it gets me.
I think it will. I think you're big enough of a comic book geek that it'll
sink in.
Yeah,
I'll give it a chance.
Yeah, and plus, if you are a DC guy, there's so many references. Oh, good God! I was actually proud of myself. I was able to like pop out a few references, but there's some that I didn't get. So. But anyway, did you want to say anything about Walking Dead?
Oh, nothing that hasn't already been said before. God, picked up right where they left off. They're in Terminus. Oh.
Yeah, season four was all about
getting there.
Getting there, yeah.
And then realizing what a place it is.
And then what happens? The first episode.
5 minutes in. Oh, my God. I don't have anything bad to say about Walking Dead at all.
At all?
At all. Yeah. Me not being a guy that reads any of the comics. I'm just focusing strictly on what I know from watching the TV show.
Yeah.
So timelines, origins, other characters I'm not supposed to know about because I don't read the books. That's the, I don't have that perspective.
Well,
you that read some of it, you might have a different perspective.
Well, I read some of the comics. I'm behind. Yeah. Now, on our other podcast, Deep in the Horror of Texas, we all kind of talked about Walking Dead. We did a year in review type thing on that podcast too. And yeah, there's
y'all had a lot of nits to pick.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, we picked some nits on that one. So it is what it is. I had my gripes about it. I think they did some things just for the sake of doing them. I'll be up front. I'll say it here. I'll repeat myself. I'm totally against them killing off Beth.
Oh, that was depressing.
It was stupid.
It was almost anticlimactic.
My thing is, why build her up for all these seasons? Especially the last season. I mean, with her and Daryl and her going off her own and her surviving in the hospital and doing all this other stuff. Just to be randomly killed off by an accident, pretty much, is what it was. And as Aaron said on the other podcast, well, things happen. No, it's not things happen. But other than that, it is what it is. I mean, if you've watched Walking Dead before, you kind of know what you're getting yourself into. So,
yeah.
They did announce that they are going to do a spinoff show. It's going to take place in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's called Fear the Walking Dead. It's apparently, from what I've read, it's the apocalypse.
I thought it was called something else.
That's what it was, Fear the Walking Dead. Well, the premise is basically the zombie apocalypse has just started to the point where it's like Bigfoot. Like, you don't believe it's real. And you don't take it seriously.
Okay.
So it's. I think it's going to be less focused on the zombies and more focused on, like, this broken
family. Non-believers.
Yeah, and family put together, like, becoming a family by circumstance because the people don't like each other or whatever. But, again, benefit of the doubt. Between that and the...
I'll watch it, for sure. Oh, it was originally called Cobalt. I don't know if that's still the name for it or not.
That was probably just a code name maybe when they were filming.
Yeah, probably. But it'd be kind of weird. Fear the Walking Dead as a spinoff. I don't know. You'd think it'd have a totally different name.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It'll be like CSI. The Walking Dead, LA.
Right.
The Walking Dead, Mexico City. The Walking Dead, Antarctica.
No, The Walking Dead, Albuquerque. And then they bump into Walter White. As AMC, man, fucking...
They're killing it, man.
Yeah, Jesus.
But I've heard they signed to do an animated series of the comic Chew.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm dying to see that. And I think Lock and Key, too.
That's been rumors. There was a...
Thief.
Yes.
There's an Image comic called Thief that started maybe like 8 issues in. They already got sold.
Yeah.
They already got
bought
by AMC.
That was a fast one. No, Lock and Key, there was a trailer for a pilot. It's on YouTube. You can do a search, Lock and Key TV pilot. It was ready to go, but it just fell through. So
wow.
And I never actually read the comics on that, but I heard it was a really good series. So because it was done by Joe Hill. He's the son of Stephen King.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So nice little trivia there for you. Oh, there's another. We'll talk a little bit about cartoons here for a second. Not really new for 2013, but...
you mean 2014?
Yeah, what did I say, 2013? Yeah. Nothing new for 2014, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the cartoon series.
From Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Do you still watch it, or have you dropped off on it?
I think I've dropped off. Not by choice that I don't like it. It's just, I think I've missed too many episodes where I'll need to wait for a DVD collection or something. I definitely would buy it, you know?
Dude, I showed you this season finale of season 2, right? Where it was like the big...
Oh, the destruction of the city?
Yeah. Whew. That's worth mentioning right there.
How much of that was a kid's cartoon and how much of that was like clinical depression for adults? Because that was kind of... I don't know. If I had a kid 8, 9 years old, I don't know if I'd show him that. That was depressing. Leo wakes up one day sounding like freaking Robot Chicken.
Oh, God. Okay. See, you're jumping the gun a little bit here. starting with season three, that was when they season two they left the city.
Yeah.
Season two started, or season three started, and this is the current season they're on, and they're on the farm, in New Hampshire, I think. Yeah. And a lot of cues from the original Ninja Turtle movie.
Oh yeah,
I love it.
From the beginning, when the van drives up to the barn, it's just exactly like the movie.
Exactly, yeah. And there was other nods, like she was sketching in her journal, and instead of Leo watching over Raph, it was Raph watching over Leo. Different things like that. Training in the fields and everything. Great stuff in that first episode.
Oh man, Dude, fill me in.
It went downhill, man. They were trying. It was the first couple of episodes were good. They were doing a lot of nods like horror movies. They did some nods to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They did nods to Friday the 13th, Part 2 specifically. There was a couple episodes like that. But then after that, it was like repetitive, and they were just doing Freak of the Week type stuff, like different mutants in the forest and different things like that. Just biding them time for them to get back to the city to do the big fight, right? Mm-hmm. Finally, after like 8 or 9 episodes, the last episode I just watched, they finally got their act together. They started training all together. And actually, another nod to the movie. They're around the campfire, and they did the splinter thing in the flame. He did a little pep talk by spirit. And that's what got him focused and motivated. And now, to be continued, they're ready to go back to New York.
Oh, man. So, why did that take 9 episodes?
I know, man. I was...
I know it don't take that long in a movie.
But to your point, what you were saying earlier, yeah, fucking Seth Green as Leonardo. Dude, 9 episodes in, I'm still not digging it. He's just Seth Green. He's not even trying to do a voice. He's just doing his own voice of Seth Green.
Okay, then, I'm putting you on the spot. Better Leonardo, Seth Green, or Johnny Knoxville? Because I didn't even realize it until like after Aaron brought it up a few weeks ago. Johnny Knoxville is the only voice actor in the Ninja Turtles movie from Michael Bay. He's Leonardo.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm just going to say John Knoxville. If I have to pick one.
It sounded familiar, but I couldn't put my finger on it. I was like, oh, man. He should have been Michelangelo because of all the Jackass stuff he used to do.
No.
Have Michelangelo do stupid stunts.
Greg Sipes as Michelangelo and Iron Fist on Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Dude, that guy, he's freaking amazing. So, yeah, don't get rid of him. He actually makes Michelangelo not annoying. Like, the original cartoon from the 80s, Michelangelo, he's kind of corny. I mean, to the point where it's like, okay, we get it. But this guy, he keeps it fresh, you know, and some of the stuff. And it's not just him, but it's the jokes, the humor.
Yeah.
The beauty of this series is the writers and things like that, they're our age. So they grew up with us. So they know the humor to write.
Yeah.
So I think it really shows in this series. So there was some other series, TV shows that ended this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
I could already see a tear coming down your eye. Sons of Anarchy.
My wife, yeah. She's devastated about that shit. I like Sons of Anarchy, but I was pretty much done with it maybe 2 seasons ago.
Really?
Yeah. It was just... It's like, I got it. Okay. You're fucked up. We get it. But the first... Definitely the first 3 seasons, freaking amazing. Even the 4th one. I'll give the 4th one... Yeah, I'll say that was good too. But then after that, it kind of trailed off for me. Did you ever watch it?
Nope. Was it my style?
Too white for you?
No... The biker stuff. Just,
yeah. You know what? That's funny. That's what took me so long to get into Sons of Anarchy, and also took me forever to get into Breaking Bad. Because I was like, Sons of Anarchy, bikers, eh. Sons of Anarchy, he makes meth. Eh, okay, whatever.
You mean Breaking Bad, he makes meth.
What'd I say?
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. Breaking Bad, yeah. Sons of Anarchy, bikers, eh. Breaking Bad,
meth.
Bad, eh, whatever. So, but then you start watching your shows, like, holy shit, this is good stuff.
Yeah.
But if you haven't watched Sons of Anarchy, just give it a shot. I mean, if you don't like it, you don't like it. Stop watching it. But yeah, Sons of Anarchy ended this season. Another good animated series that ended after after four seasons.
That's on the top of my bucket list to watch this year. Legends of Korra.
Legend of Korra.
How much Airbender. Drama was that third season where, oh, we're not going to show it on television. You can find it online. And everybody, then they weren't even going to do it at first. And then it was like, yeah, we'll just throw it online. And everybody complained. They wound up showing the rest of the was it the last half of season three on the...
No, season three, they cut it from TV on halfway through season three. And then season four came on. By the way, they had to air that. I think was it season three or season four? They had to air early because it got leaked online.
Yeah.
So they said, "Fuck it." Okay. So they just like released it early, and by the time the popularity was so big, by the last like two episodes of the final season, they put it back on Nickelodeon. Try to save face. But
good God!
But man, season one was good. You're like, holy crap! Season two, holy shit!
Those are the episodes that I like snuck in when we were waiting to just kill time, and
But dude, season three of Legend of Korra, I said it before, I'll say it again, this is probably the most beautifully animated series that I've ever seen. And that's saying a lot, because I've seen a lot of shit. But the time and effort they took in everything, magnificent. The storytelling also. I mean, just the... It's more for, I think season three more so is more aimed towards adults than children. Yeah. The series is in general. I mean, because if you look at it like season one, the villain was a militaristic dictator. Hitler, maybe? You know, things like that. They take cues from different things that kids aren't going to get, but you're like, holy crap, they're doing this? All right, so season one was all right. I like season three the best because... Seasons 1 and 2 were kind of similar to the fact that the villains were more political shit, where season 3 was other benders that they were going up against. So it was a lot of action scenes, a lot of really just badass animated fight scenes throughout the whole series. Season 4 came along. Honestly, I wasn't as... I guess the animation put it up to a level... to try to beat, and season four couldn't match it. Yeah. And then some of the character developments they did in season four, some people got highlighted that I didn't like, and some people that I liked didn't get highlighted. So
so you took it personal
a little bit, yeah, fuckers. But the season ended the way it should have ended. Everybody's happy, and they actually did an interesting thing for the wrap up for the. I mean, this actually got reported by. You know, IGN and all these other websites, you know, about news reports, things like that. Did you hear about how they ended the relationship?
No.
Aspect of it? Do you want me to tell you?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Spoiler alert. Fast forward a couple of minutes. Korra and Asami got together. Two chicks.
Nice.
High three?
Yeah. Welcome to 2015.
But no, that's why it's over, right? But, you know, the whole show, it was, you know, her and Mako that were kind of off and on, boyfriend, girlfriend. So you were thinking that they were going to get back together, and they were kind of reconciling that last season. But the last season is, like, wrapping up the last episode is wrapping up everything, and he says, hey, okay, well, I'll be here for you. You know, I'll be your friend, and this and that, and he kind of walked away. It's like, that's a weird way of ending that relationship. And then that's when they do the final reveal. Kiss and all, and they walk into the background or whatever. So
wow,
for Nickelodeon for a kids cartoon,
yeah,
that's I would say groundbreaking, right?
Yeah,
and it wasn't like gratuitous or anything like that. It was a very fluid thing because if you go back and watch, there's like subtle signs that they were like when they're talking, she would blush and things like that. You know, small subtle things. So yeah, it is what it is. But yeah, when I first watched that, my head tilted a little bit. I had a confused look.
Derp.
Yeah, derp. Like, what did I just watch? I don't know. But anyway, so that ended. Some talk shows. Craig Ferguson. I love Craig Ferguson. I think he did a really good job on Late Night Show.
Yeah.
Late Show, excuse me. And some other people like Letterman. He quit.
Yeah.
And they got the replacements.
Oh man, you want to talk about send-offs?
Yeah.
There's no better way to get a send-off. Craig Ferguson got a week of Metallica.
Yes.
His favorite band. That he said like 3 weeks before this final taping that he's like, oh yeah, they're like one of my favorite bands on air. And they found out, like, hey, you want to be, we'll be on your show. Like, well, how about a week? All right. So they were on there in a week. David Letterman had the Foo Fighters on.
Oh, really?
For a whole week. And and it was building up to their new album, Sonic Highways. Every day, except with the exception of one day where they played a new song off the album, every day they were guests. The one that sticks to my mind was Foo Fighters with the Zac Brown Band. Actually did War Pigs from Iron Maiden.
Really?
From Black Sabbath.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Iron Maiden. From Black Sabbath. Right, they did War Pigs from Black Sabbath. Huh. And Zac Brown Band and Foo Fighters doing that, it came off awesome, dude. It's something, if anybody that likes Black Sabbath, that's a must-see video. It's out there.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. And the thing is, I got so wrapped up in Craig Ferguson, I totally missed the whole Letterman thing. Which is kind of opposite of America. I'm sure everybody was focused on Letterman and not Ferguson, but I like his style. He's
younger. Like, we can relate to Ferguson more as opposed to Letterman's been around for too long.
Yeah, Letterman's like your dad's talk show.
Yeah.
And Ferguson,
he's cool. I mean, I liked a lot of his bits. The top 10, though, back in the day, I would stay up as soon as
back
the top
in the day,
10
though.
List.
Back
yeah,
in the day.
Top 10 list, all right, go to bed.
Yeah.
You know. But Ferguson, I got a lot of his humor.
Yeah, you get a lot of his humor, his like fuck it kind of attitude. Yeah. His, he would tear up the script and throw it, and his talk. I love that, you know. But anyway, I know there are some other series that ended. I'm just drawing a blank on them right now. But there were, unfortunately, you know, there were a lot of deaths this year. Celebrities.
Yeah, none of them hit my Deadpool, so I didn't win any money. But, oh well. Fingers crossed for this year, Thomas.
Save that for another show. So we lost quite a few. Let's go off the list here. Robin Williams.
Ouch.
Yeah, I think that hit everybody the hardest.
Oh.
Yeah. Man, that was. And the way he went out, too. I don't think anybody really. And it turns out later on that, you know, battling depression, things like that. And it's kind of sad. And it just sad all around. But Philip Seymour Hoffman, he passed away. Funny, I always remember him from Mission Impossible 3 as the bad guy from that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know why. That's like the first one that pops in my head from him.
Along Came Polly for me.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good in that one, too. Yeah. Him and Robin Williams, we could be here all night just naming off movies. What's the first Robin Williams movie that you think of?
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Really? Okay. Yeah. It's
Mork and Mindy.
yeah, actually, I was going to say Mork and Mindy. Movie wise, probably Hook.
Yeah.
And then Doubtfire, obviously. But he's been in so many great movies. One thing I tend to forget about, Jumanji.
Yeah, you forgot about Jumanji?
Yeah.
Lost faith in you there.
Shut up. okay, so some other notable ones. Joan Rivers, she passed away. It was like in a weird like operating incident. Like she was doing something with her throat or something
she
like that.
She was having some throat surgery, and I think some bacteria or something got in. So
something like that,
she got infected, and they needed to do something.
Yeah. So, man, and a lot of these, like Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
Egon. Man. So sad, man. She's like, Bob Hoskins, Eddie from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Mario. Freaking Mario Brothers.
Mario Brothers, yeah.
This is a weird situation. Casey Kasem. Apparently, he was missing for a while, and they finally found his body, and his wife had something to do with it, and this and that. And
sketchy all the way, man.
Damn. Yeah. Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, man, if you were a wrestling fan in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, the colored tassels, the face paint,
the music.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, yeah, Ultimate Warrior. Oh.
You know who he is.
Oh, as wrestling fans, that whole happenstance was kind of the most...
Surreal?
Spookiest thing I've ever been a part
of. I'll give you that.
There's been they had a long-time feud between him and the company.
Mm-hmm.
They added him into the video game for 2014 last year.
Right.
2013 they added him for the 2014. They made amends. And then it turned out he was going to be inducted into WWE's Hall of Fame. So he gets inducted on Saturday. He gives his nice speech. He comes out Sunday in front of 70,000 people, gets his ovation. The next night on Monday, during Monday Night Raw, he cuts probably one of the best monologues I've ever heard him.
Oh, man.
Best at that time. Monday night, I'm like, wow, he could actually put a sentence together.
Yeah, we're not used to that.
Yeah, from him. And then Tuesday, he has the heart attack.
Yeah.
And passed away.
And let's look at it like this. We're just coming off of our trip to New Orleans. We were there for everything.
Yeah.
We saw him on the weekend. We saw him on our TV on Monday. We were recording our other podcast, Houston Wrestling Radio. In the middle of recording, my wife texts me, Ultimate Warrior just passed away. And I was like, what? And then that's when all our phones started going off.
We started looking, yeah.
And then I was thinking, no, this is a hoax. This is not really. And then we saw it on WWE's website that it was official. We're like, we just kind of dropped everything. We're like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Yeah.
For me, if you go back and if you listen to his promo that he was doing on Monday, the day before he passed away, that's some prophetic. What'd you say? Prophetic?
Yeah.
Very, like he knew something was up. That's what we were thinking when we first were analyzing everything. Yeah. And just his Hall of Fame speech. Man, I get kind of choked up because he's talking about his family and his being there for his children and his wife. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. God. He walks out with both of his daughters, dude.
Yeah. Man. And then after the fact, WWE, they have their own network that you can watch exclusive content and things like that. And they actually, before all this happened, they were actually filming him. They're following him around and they're filming him.
For a documentary?
Yeah, for a documentary. And they released a documentary and it was very well done and very enlightening.
Yeah.
About him, himself.
Tied up a lot of loose ends.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I did. Yeah. So, crazy stuff. I mean, that was not. That was a crazy time.
Yeah.
Anything else? Tommy Ramone from the Ramones?
Oh, like the last one.
Yeah, the last one, yeah.
He's the last one. So every single one of them are rocking out in a better place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a lighter note, 2014 saw the debut of some new systems, video game systems. Was it debut? Did they come out in 2014, right?
13, I think.
Did they come out in 13?
Yeah.
For us, they were
their debut for us because we're old and we've fallen behind the times. So, it's that daylight savings, I think.
Yeah. So some video games, we try to play the games once in a while.
Yeah, every now and then.
Yeah.
When my nephew lets me.
Right.
I have my console in his room. I got an Xbox One. So.
But you had a 360.
Yeah, I had a 360.
And you traded in, right?
Yeah. Oh, it was an offer I couldn't refuse.
Yeah.
I wound up getting $150 off the Xbox One.
Yeah.
So for $230 with tax and everything, I couldn't pass it.
Oh,
up,
yeah.
So. And instantly regretting it.
Oh, shit.
From the moment when I opened the box, I was like, oh, no. The old Xbox Live Arcade's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So I had Simpsons, X-Men, Ninja Turtles, Plants vs. Zombies, a whole bunch of games I had. Gone. Can't re-download them. I had like four or five different remotes for my old 360. Even USB remotes. Can't use them.
Nope. Even though it's the exact same fucking remote.
Yeah. Can't use them. It's like, oh, well, at least I got a whole bunch of games that I bought from the pawn shop and from like trade-ins and used or whatever from the 360. It's like, oh, man.
Guess what?
There's stuff on 360 I haven't even played yet. It's like, I can't wait to pop it in. Like, oh, wait. I can't? Ugh. This is like the most expensive Blu-ray player I ever bought.
So you're regretting your purchase.
Then. Now? Wow. When I have time to play it, Forza 5 looks damn near like I'm on the freeway. Like, yeah. I can't tell the difference. My nephew, the jerk, he's already finished season 2 of The Walking Dead. All 5 chapters. I had finished the first episode on the 360, and I bought the game on Xbox One on Black Friday. And we played it together. Well, he played the first episode.
Yeah.
I watched him. But he remembered because we played it together when I was playing it. Come back from my trip to New York, say, hey, we need to get some more games for the Xbox One. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, that Walking Dead's really good. I can't wait for season 3. He's like, you mean episode 3? He's like, no, I played the whole game. I went through the train, the snow, the sun. I'm like, don't tell me this. I haven't played it. Damn.
You jerk.
He plowed through it.
So, okay. So after your initial depression phase of losing 360, now you're enjoying your Xbox One.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Well, you got the Microsoft end of it. I got the Sony side. You can laugh all you want.
I'm laughing at myself because I've heard good things.
Yeah, dude.
And I'm about to hear more. So
yeah. I'll try to keep it brief. I have a 360 and a PS3. I told my wife, and I told my friends, I was like, you know what? I've always been a PlayStation guy. You know, I got a 360 later on. I think I got it like maybe a couple years ago. And I really enjoy it, the 360 for the Mass Effect series. Mm-hmm. It's probably one of my favorite franchises down, like, period. And there's some other things that I have on the 360 that I want to keep my system for that. I don't want to be in your shoes where you have all this shit.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Now, the PS3, I've kind of gotten away from playing games on that because I started using the 360 for games. So I don't have really a lot of ties to the games on the PS3 mm-hmm. anymore. Uncharted, I love that, but I never finished Part 3, and I probably, at this point, probably won't. The God of War.
Oh, yeah.
The series, I finished that. So there's things like that that I could play, but I'm pretty much done with. And I said, well, if I get a PS4, I can have that out here. I can move the PS3 in our bedroom, and I can have everything. I have Netflix and everything right there in our bedroom.
Your home.
Yeah, so we can have two different spots. And sure enough, my lovely wife, she hooked me up for Christmas.
Got the keeper.
Yeah, I think so. So she got me a PS4. And got Destiny and Injustice.
Oh, nice.
I picked up WWE 2K15. Just because.
Good job, Mark.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm still enjoying it. I'm still getting used to the format of the hub and the dashboard mm-hmm. and everything. I kind of like some of the way it's laid out and some of the extra features that are on the PS3 as opposed to the PS4.
User face, the interface.
Yeah, so I'm getting used to that. But, man, dude, the streaming service, like anything on the website. I would never have used the website on the PS3 or a 360. But, dude, the PS4, the website, flawless.
The internet browser?
Man, it's quick, easy. All the apps that I have, like the WWE app or the network, Netflix, everything streams perfect. Mm-hmm. Fast to work with. Yeah. And then there's the games, too. And I really haven't found that one game that's like I'm blown away by the graphics. Destiny, sort of. Honestly, I'm not there yet on that, but a lot of the games I have for that I played have been ported over, so it's not like a true next-gen game yet. So I'm waiting on the first big one to like really blow my mind on their graphics, but you said you had Forza 5. I'm waiting for the next Gran Turismo.
Oh,
the first one that's going to come out for the PS4, that's going to be some badass shit.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to be envious if it has that Austin track. The Circuit of Americas, it doesn't have it on the Forza 5 game. And that's one of the tracks I really wanted to play.
Gran Turismo has always had like the same set of tracks.
For the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, they have their thing. But and I missed out on like the last couple of Gran Turismos. So, next one, I'm going to buy and get back into that series. Yeah. But is there anything else from 2014?
Let's see. Oh, one thing we missed.
Yo.
After years of tie-ups and red tape, finally, 1966 Batman television series. Finally.
Now, this is coming from you, who's not a big DC guy.
I remember sitting next to my dad as a kid, my dad introducing me to Batman.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, there weren't that many shows, so like stuff was in syndication for years.
You had to flip the dial on TV to see. There's only a few channels.
Yeah, and those shows were in syndication for years. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like maybe 9 years old in my late 80s.
In your late 80s?
Yeah.
In the late
1980s. 80s. Yeah, in the late 1980s, I was like 9 or 10, and they were still on television. And I was watching them with him. And that's how. And I still have memories of that. That's kind of the measuring stick for me, like enjoyment-wise, if I can enjoy any Batman franchise as much as I enjoyed as a kid, 1966.
Yeah. I'm there with you. Adam I can. West. That was my first introduction to Batman.
Yeah.
Was through syndication. You know, you only had just back in the day, before there were remote controls and DVRs and cable boxes. I mean, you just had the dial. You know, flip the dial. You only had, 12 channels?
Yeah.
So they didn't have a lot. And there was a lot of syndication. Yeah, 2, 11, 13, channel 8.
2, 8, 11, 13, 20, 26, 39, 45, 48, 51, 57, 61.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
If you're Mexican, you go above in the 40s and the 50s. So yeah. Other than that, yeah.
All those staticky channels. Yeah, yeah, rabbit ears. Yeah. But yeah, man, growing up, it was definitely the 66 series Batman, Addams Family, Monsters, Gilligan's Island.
Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah. Yeah. All those shows were, that's all I remember of just TV shows on during all the time when I was a kid. But anyway, that's...
Finally, DVD, Blu-ray, iTunes. Got about 6 or 7 episodes. Thinking about
picking up... Oh, that's another series. Because I was thinking about picking up the Batman series. Another series that I was actually thinking about picking up, Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Really?
Yeah.
When did they release that?
It was in 2014. Hello, Chris.
Wow. I missed that news.
They even put them on Netflix.
Nice.
Yeah. And, I mean, say what you will, I have fond memories of Pee-wee's Playhouse. I was a kid when that show came on. Damn, what happened to him after the fact?
I'm not aware of continuity. I just know of like Pee-wee's Playhouse, the word of the day, the talking chair, him with the bow tie. It's like, oh god,
that's him. Yeah. And that's what I remember. And I was actually thinking about picking him up, but both those sets were kind of out there in the price. Although I think on the Pee-wee's Playhouse, I saw a set like just season 1 or season. You can get them in seasons for like $20
individually. Yeah.
And what they did was they digitally remastered them from TV film or TV footage, and they like remastered them onto like film stock shit. Like, it's like, it looks really good. I saw some comparison between the two shots.
Oh wow,
it looks nice. Yeah, but yeah, Netflix had the they have the series on, and they also had the Christmas special one.
Oh nice.
Yeah. So yeah, 1966 Batman, Pee-wee's Playhouse. Any other series you're looking to pick it up or?
As far as classic stuff that's just been released lately, there isn't anything that pops into my mind.
Yeah.
Because the only way I remembered that is because I've been waiting for so long. Like, they even showed, like, old episodes of the Batman series on the Hub.
Yeah.
At late night, 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, yep. Central. It's like, oh, man. I forgot how good these episodes were. It's like, man.
It's fun. Yeah. Yeah, it's not... Don't take it seriously. You can't. There's no way.
Dude's in a surfboard with shorts. Come on.
Did you ever watch the movie, the 66?
Oh, yeah. Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Yeah.
That's it that comes in my head. Did we cover everything? Mostly?
I think so. Oh, it was the 30th anniversary of Transformers. I keep remembering because you got the Matrix necklace over
there. Oh, yeah. Custom jewelry thing over here. Yeah.
Jealous. but yeah, 30th anniversary of Transformers. Fuck, I feel old. But they, but because of the 30th anniversary of Transformers, they had the movie. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. But man, some of the toys that came out. I know if you're not a big Transformers fan, I'm sorry, but I mean there was some good stuff that came out this year.
Starting with the movie, the throwback of the old Single Cab Optimus from the cartoons. Yeah. They released that. I got one of those.
There's a throwback to him, and there was a throwback to Grimlock.
Oh yeah, Toys R Us did the Evolution 2-pack. Yeah. Dinobots like updated with the way the new movie came out. Yeah.
I didn't care too much for any of the Age of Extinction toys. They looked cheap to me. Like they weren't real. They didn't look like Transformers. They looked like something I didn't want.
The one thing that I have to fault Hasbro for is that they're making a lot more of an effort to make a lot of these toys easier to transform for the kids, so they don't get frustrated and give up on them.
Yeah,
there's a lot of like one steps and three step changers,
like flips. They like flip
and
up like,
they'll tell you literally on the box. It only takes 9 steps to fix. Like I don't want to know. Fuck, give me a brain teaser. Okay, so they release like Masterpiece Grimlock,
right?
Which to this day I haven't transformed from robot mode because I'm afraid to break him. So it's just there. I was like, that's what I get.
In your defense, Masterpieces are very expensive. So
I was like, my girlfriend got me a Masterpiece Bumblebee. Yeah. That was released a couple of months ago. The classic Volkswagen bug.
Right.
I let her transform it first, even though she bought it for me, because if it broke the first time out, I could at least point at her and like rub it in, because I did not want to break it.
Does that one come with the little Daniel or Spike?
Yes.
Is it Daniel or Spike? Okay. Does the exosuit transform?
Yeah.
To it does. The part.
Yeah.
Get really? Oh, yeah. Wow. That's awesome. I didn't even think.
Actually releasing a, in the summer, they're releasing a Generation 2 Bumblebee, which is going to be gold.
Yeah.
And it's going to have one of the jetpacks that he used in the Dinobot Island
episode. Oh, really? Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, I'm tempted to pick that one up.
I'm tempted to get it just for the Transformer exosuit. I was just kidding about that.
Yeah, it is. Wow. Well, it's a $60 figure.
Right.
But it's literally a deluxe figure, like that one that's sitting over there on your counter. So the deluxe size is like $15-$20. So for the articulation and the cost of the licensing, that finally have the bug, the Volkswagen bug car, as opposed to just a knockoff.
It looks like they went all out on it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's really articulate. It's probably one of my favorite Transformers I've ever played with. Now. But it's still, for that price tag, it needed a little more. Yeah. So for them to have Spike in there is real fun.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, man, that's like my one regret is I never really got into the masterpieces. I have the 20th anniversary of Optimus Prime. Fuck, 20. That was 10 years ago. Jesus, I've been sitting. That didn't even.
You're not helping
in the room.
Yourself making yourself feel
right?
any older.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago. I had that one. Jesus, but that was like the first of the masterpieces.
Yeah,
and. They're really expensive toys. They're coming from Japan. I mean, it's like they're really articulate. Very
the Japanese
detailed.
Versions, they're a lot better painted. They're a lot more articulate. That's Takara Tomy that handles those.
Right.
Hasbro, they've been doing masterpieces for a while, but nothing really, I don't want to say official, but nothing to an order. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this year is when they started going in order. They started with Soundwave.
Yeah.
And the one that I got, and I opened it here, you got to mess with
dude,
it a little bit.
Dude, a tear like came out of my eyes when you took it out of the box, but... Dude, apparently that's the thing to do now is just take the shit out of the box, so I may have to start doing it. Back in my day, we kept everything in the box.
But, yeah, so Soundwave, and then Air Raid.
That Soundwave
then...
figure's so fucking badass.
Yeah.
And you sold it.
Because I didn't know I was... I got the masterpiece Optimus that came out like a few years ago, and I got rid of it because I was given a great offer, trade.
Yeah.
So I traded it. 5 minutes after it left the house, I was like, God damn! So they released the Year of the Horse, which was the clear trailer and the gold accentuated on the figure, but it's literally the same figure.
Yeah.
Just different paint job and the color scheme. I was like, man, I hope I don't get addicted to this. Then I got Soundwave, and then I got sold Soundwave because I didn't want
to. In your defense, you're trying to sell to me first.
Yeah. And I wanted it to have just, a good home.
Yeah.
And you know, if this was Toy Story, I can imagine the movies that you would make in that room with all the stuff you got in there right now.
Yeah, if.
Yes. And then I got my hands on Grimlock, and then... there's a couple of more than Japan that have been released that are coming stateside, and then Bumblebee. When I got my hands on Bumblebee, I was like, I don't know. Oh god! And now Ultra Magnus is coming out in 2015.
I showed you the video on that one.
Sick.
I showed you the video on that.
If that's the last one I ever get, it's that one. Yeah. Like if that's the last Transformer I ever buy, ever, it's that one. Oh god! Why that be so expensive?
Why are they so expensive? That's the one thing. That's why I got out of collecting in the first place. It's because the prices, man. Yeah. Even the deluxe size, like the regular size figures, you're like almost $20 now.
Yeah.
It's like, oof. I need a second job just to pay this.
And then at the tail end of the year, we were lucky to get our hands on some Combiner War stuff for the new comic.
It's not coming out. Yeah. I think officially it's 2015 that's coming out, but I'm looking forward to this series, man. I told you when I first saw those prototype
figures. You showed me a picture of Optimus Prime you had in your hand.
Yes.
The next day, I bought one. Two days later, it's in my hand. You son of a bitch!
And you already took him out. Mine's still in the box.
Oh yeah, I love that one.
Yeah,
it's my favorite Optimus.
Because you got me an Optimus earlier.
Oh yeah, I got you a huge like leader class beast hunter like. Battle
See, and that wasn't that didn't cost me nothing. And I still don't want to take that out of the package. That'd be like no loss to me at all, and it's still in the box.
Dude, if anything, I'll go back there with a knife and just fuck it up for you. Like fuck the box
Make
up.
It so easy
you
have, for me.
Yeah, like here, man. Just give you a whole bunch of pieces. You put it together. They snap.
Well, don't go crazy now.
As long as there aren't any casualties, just that.
Right.
One.
Yeah.
Just the big one.
Another one I was trying to find was a Jetfire, the 30th anniversary Jetfire figure.
Yeah.
Man, that was nice. Got the red chrome and oh god! But it's so again, money.
Yeah.
Woo. And people like to pay for it too. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, So long story short, I'm slowly starting to get back into the Transformer collector's world. And
it's like we compliment each other. Like you tell me that I need to get into it, and then I tell you you need to get out of it, and then it goes like, dude, you need to get these, and I'm saying no, I can't get these, and then like 6 months from now I'm like, dude, you need to buy this one. We're gonna go back and forth. This is gonna be our relationship. I'm telling you.
Oh yeah. God, it's already it's been the past year and a half. Yeah. You jerk. My wife hates you because of that,
among other things.
Yeah.
I'm over here 4 days a week. I'm surprised I don't pay rent.
Speaking of,
goodbye, everybody.
There's a Chris shaped hole in my door over there. What just happened?
Oh man!
All right. Well, on that note, yeah, we got some good things looking forward to 2015. Avengers 2 is coming out. Mortal Kombat X is coming out. I'm definitely pre-ordering that shit when that comes out. Batman Arkham Knight, that comes out. That's the final game in that series. Yeah, I'm looking forward. Yeah, there's some good stuff coming out in 2015.
The rest of Walking Dead.
Well, from season five, you got your thing. It is what it is. I'm still watching it, but yeah. I don't know if I'll be looking forward to it. But yeah. Anyway, so 2015 should be good. We got some good stuff, and then
Star Wars.
Yes, in December. Yeah, man.
Hopefully, they make it to December. Abrams is trying to push it back to like May of 16.
No, hope not.
Because there's a time crunch. Apparently, Disney's got a big hub to do that. They wanted to do a lot of it digitally, and JJ wanted to go old school with a lot of the props, like the original movies, to the point that he got so pissed that he's not doing 8 and 9.
Yeah, he dropped out.
He dropped out.
Which could be a good thing. That was like the one factor that I liked about Disney buying Star Wars. Now it's going to have multiple options for multiple directors coming in. You can do different stories. We're already going to have like spinoffs. We're going to have a Boba Fett movie.
I want to see that.
Yeah, forget about it, man. Yeah, I'm digging what's coming up for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's a long time coming, and I'm glad we're finally getting it in our day and age.
Yeah.
So, that's another series that came out in 2014. Star Wars Rebels. Man, do you watch the show?
On and off. I saw the episode with Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, that was the newest one. That just came out. But, dude, I'm loving this show. I try to tell people to watch it, and my friends that like Star Wars, they don't want to watch it because it's CG. And it's not real to them, damn it. If it's not.
Well, that's the time we're going now. Like, most of the animated stuff is pretty much because it's the easiest.
I think Clone Wars kind of left a bad taste in their mouths, you know, because it was too cartoony. But this is a little bit different style, a little more realistic style. You know,
I'm surprised because a lot of the Clone Wars story was good enough to try to like let the CGI put it behind you.
Yeah,
focus on the story; it'll keep you there.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm surprised. It's like it's been over what 10 years that we've had CGI animation. Mm-hmm. I think by now that people get over it and
let it go. It's in there. But Rebels, dude, from episode one of that, man, I'm telling everybody that I can.
Well, you're telling them now.
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to turn the mics on. Tell them now.
If you like the show Firefly or watch the movie Serenity, if you like that vibe, you know, Joss Whedon, if you like all that, and you like Star Wars, obviously, mix the two together, and that's what Rebels are. Man, nice. It is such a nice combination and a compliment to both those, I guess, attitudes of series. And it's... I like it. I like it better than I thought I would. You know, I give it the benefit of the doubt. And another thing about it is it takes place right before the original trilogy.
So we're
starting to get Lando Calrissian and all these... We're starting to get the designs of the Stormtroopers and all the TIE Fighters. It's all stuff that we know. Yeah. So, and it's about just a small group of Rebels that are smuggling. They're smugglers. So it's Firefly. It's what it was. They're stealing from the Empire and selling it to make a buck. Pretty much. That's it, what it is. And with the kid learning to become a Jedi. You saw the episode, the newest episode. In the episode before that one, he made his own lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blaster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're in a firefight, and the Jedi trainer, he was like, oh, we can't use a lightsaber here. It's like, don't worry. He starts shooting with the lightsaber. He's like, holy crap. So, and then the Inquisitor is like the Sith, the Sith Lord, whatever. His lightsaber. I don't know if you've seen
with that ring around it.
Yeah. And it just starts spinning. Yeah, dude, I'm digging the show. So I'm looking forward to it, the rest of the show.
Yeah.
But anything else you're looking forward to as we wrap this up?
I think we've covered all the bases from me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for pop culture wise, I think we got enough to be full.
Yeah. I think we got everything.
Yeah. So with that, thanks, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to our little season finale. Like I said, by the time you hear this, I'm pretty sure there'll be another episode that they'll be waiting for you. Season premiere, I guess. So
Cars. Oh!
Cars from movies, from TV shows, from cartoons, maybe some video games. So if you like all that, what we just said, and you like cars, you're going to like this episode.
Yes.
Chris is already, like, salivating on the side of his mouth over here. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just looking for an exhaust pipe to stick this in.
And with that...
Goodbye, everybody. Toodles.
Pop your culture. Shell shock pizza king. Can't stop these radical dudes. The secret of the ooze make the chosen few emerge from the shadows to make their move. The good guys win and the bad guys lose. Leonardo's a leader in blue. Does anything it takes to get his ninjas through. Donatello is a fellow, has a way with machines. Raphael's got the most attitude on the team. Michelangelo, he's one of a kind. And he knows where to find him when it's party time. Best to split a title of every single skill they need.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive. When I was a child, I saw my mother killed by something impossible. My father went to prison for her murder. Then an accident made me the impossible. To the outside world, I'm an ordinary forensic scientist, but secretly, I use my speed to fight crime and find others like me. And one day, I'll find who killed my mother and get justice for my father. I am the Flash.
Earth. Fire. Air. Water. Only the Avatar can master all four elements and bring balance to the world.
Girl, yeah, you turn me on. the good love. When we're all alone, keep it up, girl. Yeah, you turn me on. I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. I'm hooked on a feeling. You're in love with me. I said I'm hooked on a feeling.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
it
though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.